unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continuously in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled A Hasidic Tale and features Richard Keith as the narrator and Will Geer as the rabbi.
This whole thing happened to me, Avram Isaacson, 135 years ago. Now, if you ask me how it is that a man does not stop talking after 135 years, I will give you a proper answer. It's none of your business. Now, let's understand one another. If you want to argue, I can argue. But if you want to be reasonable, please sit where you are and be quiet while I, Avram Isaacson, will tell you. Myself, I'm not a fool, you understand. When I was younger, the old rabbi, may he rest in peace, said to me, Avram, he said, you are a person of what I might describe as the middle measure, neither a very great scholar nor a very small ignoramus. So, instead of becoming a student of the Talmud, I became a wagon driver. You understand, I'm not altogether a fool. Still, this has nothing to do with my story. Well, to make matters short, ours was a small town in the Ukraine on the Polish frontier. Not a rich town, not a poor town. A town of middle measure. Well, one day there came to the town a rabbi, one of those who called themselves Hasidim. Myself, I did not know much of the Hasidim. But I learned, as I was saying, this rabbi came to our town. A total stranger he was.
We've already got one rabbi. Tell him, Avram.
You. Tell him we've already got a rabbi.
My friend, they say we already have a rabbi.
May he live to be 120 years.
We already have a rabbi. May he live to be 120 years.
Tell him my name is Eliezer.
Avram, he says his name is Eliezer.
All right, so his name is Eliezer.
He says all right.
Tell him I'm a Hasidic rabbi.
And what is a Hasidic rabbi?
I believe in the love of God and the love of man.
He says he believes in the love of God and the love of man.
I believe that it is sinful to be melancholy. Men must approach God through prayer, but the prayer must be full of joy and ecstasy.
You heard what he said?
I heard. Tell him we already have one rabbi in this town.
Nevertheless, I shall settle in this town.
But we barely support our own rabbi. How in the name of heaven can we support another? How can...
Shh. Listen. Once, there was a goose. Not a very large goose. Not a very small goose.
A goose of middle measure.
Exactly. And this goose was owned by a thoughtless master who sometimes forgot to feed her.
Well?
The goose suffered.
Naturally.
One day, the master bought a rooster and placed it in the same coop with the geese.
But the goose was already hungry?
That's what the goose said.
Oh.
Now I shall surely starve, said the goose. There are two of us to eat for my small portion. But the rooster said, don't worry. I can crow when I feel hungry. This will be a reminder to our master, and then we'll both be fed. I shall settle in this town.
Well, that is how Rabbi Eliezer came to our town with roosters and geese. Almost immediately there was trouble. I, Avram Isaacson, I had nothing to do with him. He was an instrument of Satan. I told him so. Myself, I'm not a scholar, you understand. But I know that scholars should be busy with the study of the Talmud instead of playing checkers. Can you imagine what I'm saying? He found scholars playing checkers, and even I know that checkers are not an especially holy pastime. yet he refused to scold them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Two for one.
What a shame, what a waste.
Rabbi Eliezer, why don't you drive them to the house of study?
Why should I?
Because, Rabbi Eliezer, because I am only a wagon driver. But I know that it is written, he who does not increase his knowledge decreases it.
Avrum, you may learn much wisdom from the rules of this game.
From checkers? A likely story.
Yes, Avrum, you may learn from playing a game of checkers. See? You surrender one in order to capture two. You may not make two moves at one time. You must move up, but not down. But when you reach the top, you may move as you like. Yes. Even in the rules of the game of checkers, there is much wisdom.
And you call yourself a rabbi? You're a fraud. If they want to remain here, it's all right with me. I'm leaving.
Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes?
Avrum insulted you.
Perhaps.
I'm sorry. You should have answered him.
No. My own teacher, may God bless his memory, never expressed his displeasure on the day a person offended him. He would wait for the next day. Then he would say, yesterday I was displeased with you, but today is today and a new day. Go on with your game. I find pleasure in watching you.
Now you see, he won them over with deceit and with trickery. But he couldn't win me over, not Avrum Isaacson. In the house of study, we read, he sang. When we carried the holy scroll from the ark, we walked soberly as befits the house of worship. Did he walk? He danced. Is that the way to commune with God, dancing and singing? It was a black day when he came. And it wasn't enough for him to do this. He made the others dance and sing. I tell you, it was a revolution. Nothing was sacred. The cantor would be rehearsing the Sabbath. Now, if I say so myself, here's a proper tune for the Sabbath. But what would he do, this Eliezer? Scandal? Is this the way to worship God? Laughing and, God forbid, almost making jokes? Avrum, he said to me, God does not like a sour face. Well, I like a sour face. It's my face. The sight of him was enough to make my mouth fill with live coals, in a manner of speaking. You would think the people would catch on to him, discover him to be what he really was. But no, they used to come to him with their problems. Would I come to him? Not Avrum Isaacson. But they came, including Feivel, the farmer, who was as poor as a synagogue mouse.
Rabbi Eliezer?
Yes, Feivel.
It's impossible, Rabbi Eliezer.
What is impossible?
My house.
What about your house?
I have one room. We can't turn around. Me, my wife, six sons, four daughters, my wife's uncle, may his name not be erased, my nephew, Naphtali, Naphtali's wife, and she's expecting. 14 people, all in one room. Rabbi Eliezer, we can't turn around in our house. Is there anyone worse off than me?
I see your problem. Feivel, do you own a cow?
Naturally, Rabbi Eliezer. What Jew doesn't own a cow?
Listen to me. Take the cow into your house.
But, Rabbi Eliezer...
Do as I say. Take the cow into your house.
You're going crazy. Who ever heard of bringing a cow into a house? And such a house.
Be still. The rabbi told me to do it.
Oh. Will you go back to your fine rabbi and ask him what you're going to do now that the cow is in the house? Go ahead. Go, ask him.
Meh, meh, meh.
Take that goat out. Take him right out of this house.
Now, be reasonable. I told the rabbi about the cow, so he said take the goat into the house also.
Well, you go right back to him, Fievel. Look what he's done to us. First a cow, now a goat, on top of all the people we have here in the first place. No chickens. The children, yes. Your relatives, yes. A cow, all right, even a goat. But Fievel, no chickens. You hear me? No chickens. Six sons. Four daughters. My uncle. Your nephew, Naftali. Naftali's wife was expecting, God bless her. One cow, one goat, but no chickens. I positively draw the line of chickens.
But it's what Rabbi Eliezer said. He said, take the chickens into the house.
I don't know what Rabbi Eliezer said. No chickens, I said.
I think I'll have to speak to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, they're in the pots, they're under the beds, the goat is eating my phylacteries, my wife's relatives are sitting on the rafters. Rabbi Eliezer, what have you done to me?
So it's bad, Fievel, is it? Bad?
Did you say bad? It's Gehenna, that's what it is.
Calm yourself.
How can I be calm? It's the end of the world.
Be calm. Listen.
No, I won't bring the pigeons in.
No more, I promise. Go home, Fievel. Go home and turn the cow out of the house.
What? Turn out?
Yes, then turn out the goat.
Oh, bless you, Rabbi Eliezer.
Turn out all the chickens.
How can I thank you?
Come back tomorrow. Turn out all the animals and come back tomorrow.
Rabbi Eliezer, behold me, Fievel. Look, I want to dance. I'm a radiant man.
You turned the animals out, did you?
Out, every last one.
And is your house too small now?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Too small? Oh, what a question. A fine house like that too small for 14 people? Well, 1,000 blessings, Rabbi Eliezer. My house is a palace now. 10,000 blessings, Rabbi Eliezer.
Tricks. Magician's tricks. Laugh, he said. Rejoice in your God, he said. Be merry. Not me, not Avram Isaacson. I may be only a wagon driver, but I can recognize an impostor when I see one. Do you hear? He won over the canter, too. Even our own canter. I ask you, will you ever trust a tenor? The whole town was mad. Songs on the Sabbath, songs after the Sabbath, songs before the Sabbath, songs in the middle of the week.
Never stop singing. Sing, all ye children of men. Approach your God with a song on your lips. Let him see the grace of your countenance. Affirm in your melody the joy of life. Affirm the compassion and the charity and the love between men. Let your gloom be dissipated. Put away the dryness of your book lore and the stiffness of your piety. Make it warm. Make it rich. Make it fervent. Listen, all of you. Listen as you sing. In the lowliest of man, there dwells a soul, a sacred mystery, the garment of the living God. Keep this garment spotless with your joy. And when you are bidden, return this garment without blemish, with your song.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
think this Eliezer was all piety and good works? Don't believe it. I myself saw him insult a fine young man. Perhaps he wasn't so fine. Perhaps he was even a fool. For he came to Rabbi Eliezer and he said, I actually overheard it because I was exercising my horse in the snow and I overheard him say,
Rabbi Eliezer, I wish to be ordained as a rabbi.
Do you now?
Yes, with all my heart, Rabbi Eliezer.
Why do you want to become a rabbi?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but it's what I want to do more than anything else.
Hmm? Now tell me something of yourself. Tell me something of your daily conduct.
Well, every morning I always dress in white.
Do you now?
Yes, and I drink water.
Only water? Hmm?
And every day I place tacks, sharp tacks in my shoes.
In heaven's name, why do you do that?
Oh, for self-mortification. I also roll naked in the snow. Yes, and when I'm finished, I order the synagogue caretaker to give me 40 stripes with a lash on my bare back each day, Rabbi.
And you think all this entitles you to become a rabbi?
Yes, Rabbi Eliezer.
Young man, that is Avram Isaacson's horse. What color is he?
White.
Yes. The creature is white. It drinks only water. It has nails in its shoes. It rolls in the snow. And I suppose that our friend Avram gives him even more than 40 stripes a day with his whip. Still, as you doubtless see, it is only a horse.
Rack the belt on alter kosher. Tra-la, tra-di-ri-di-rum.
Yes, after Rabbi Eliezer came, nothing was the same. He had respect for no one, no one at all. After all, a man should know the difference between a beggar and, let us say, Asher Horowitz, who was the wealthiest man in the town. But Rabbi Eliezer, did he know the difference? Not at all. He pretended that there was no difference between Asher Horowitz and his hundreds of rubles and a beggar like Nachum Fishman who didn't have a broken slutty to his name. Good Shabbos, he would say to Asher Horowitz. Good Shabbos, he would say to Nachum Fishman. Just like that, as though they were the same. It happened once that Asher Horowitz lost a wallet and Nachum Fishman found it. Immediately, Rabbi Eliezer had to meddle.
I'm very glad for you, Nachum. Asher Horowitz has promised a reward of 10 rubles to the one who finds the wallet.
10 rubles? Mm-hmm. It's a fortune. Rabbi Eliezer, 2 loaves of bread for Sabbath and wine for the Kiddush. My wife is going to be happy.
Come in.
Asher Horowitz, your wallet has been found.
Wonderful. Quick, let me have it.
Hold on, Nachum.
Asher, haven't you forgotten something?
Yes, the reward.
Of course, of course. Hold the wallet over. I've got to make sure the money is all there, don't I?
It must be there. I didn't even open it because it wasn't mine. Just as I found it, that's the way I'm returning.
I'll see you in a moment. 100, 200, 250, 75, 300, 25, 50, 70, 80, 90, 400. Only 400 rubles. I don't give any reward. I lost 500 rubles.
Rabbi Eliezer, he can't be telling the truth. I swear I haven't even looked inside the wallet.
No reward. Good day, Rabbi. Good day, Nachum.
Asher Horowitz, you will please give the wallet to Nachum.
What's that?
Give it to him, I say. Take it, Nachum.
But what are you doing? Here, give me back my wallet.
Oh, no, Asher. This is not your wallet. You are an honest man. You lost the wallet containing 500 rubles. But Nachum is also an honest man. He found a wallet containing only 400 rubles. Clearly, the wallet is not yours. Nachum will keep it until its rightful owner claims it.
Oh. It's a joke, eh? Sure, a joke. Nachum, you're a good fellow. Of course, everyone says so. Here's your reward of 10 rubles. Now give me my wallet.
Oh, no, Asher. That would be a crime. As you say, the wallet you lost contained 500 rubles. Come, Nachum. The Almighty has blessed you today. Good day, Asher.
This meddling was bad enough, but it was more painful to have to listen to Rabbi Eliezer preach. Why did I listen, you might ask? Did anybody make me? I'll tell you. First, it's none of your business. And second, I, Avrom Isaacson, listen to anyone I want to listen to. So I developed the very bad habit of listening to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, make no mistake, he was a meddler, all right. Yet I must confess, some of the things he had to say were good enough. After a fashion, that is.
One who thinks that anything can be accomplished by money is likely to do anything for money. One who thinks he can live without others is mistaken. One who thinks that others cannot live without him is even more mistaken. I have greater love for the wicked man who knows he is wicked than for the righteous man who knows he is righteous. The first one is truthful, and the Lord loves truth. The second one falsifies, since no human being is exempt from sin, and the Lord hates untruth. To sin against a fellow man is worse than to sin against God. The man you have harmed may have gone to an unknown place, and you may lose the opportunity to beg his forgiveness. God, however, is everywhere, and you can always find him when you seek him.
Myself, I'm not a fool, you understand. I know a good thing when I see it, and I know a bad thing when I see it. But Rabbi Eliezer, well, for 135 years I've been thinking of him. Mind you, I haven't changed my opinion. Only, as Rabbi Eliezer says, to sin against your fellow man is worse than to sin against God. So, Rabbi Eliezer, can you hear me? It's me, Avrom Isaacson. If I have done... Well, mind you, Rabbi Eliezer, I haven't changed my mind. But, well, you know how it is. Besides, I like the singing. Copies of the script you've just heard may be obtained free of cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we present Rabbi Solomon H. Metz of Congregation Ades Israel, Washington, D.C. Speaking from Washington, Rabbi Metz.
Hasidism is a uniquely significant manifestation of the ever-recurring miracle of self-renewal. The unspeakable massacres in the Ukraine in 1648 and 1649 left Israel dangerously depleted and weakened to the point of death. Even as in Nazi-devastated Europe today, it looked as though the diabolic forces of paganism had accomplished the extermination of the people of the book. But when Israel found himself on the rim of extinction that burst forth from the depths of his soul, the burning bush of Hasidism. By its mystic light, the very wilderness was transmuted into a holy pilgrimage to messianic fulfillment and the ineffable joy of the nearness of God. Under its spell, hidden wells of astounding vitality sprang into being. In its wake, there came song and rhythm, rejoicing and dancing, and those extraordinary legends which, for beauty, humanity, and depth, rank among the greatest religious creations of all time. To an unparalleled degree, the Hasidic movement has achieved the synthesis of the priestly and the prophetic in religion. The organic unity of the ritualistic form and the living content of the mystic experience. The prophet and the priest are not antagonists. They represent the polarity of the continuing life of the spirit. Religion is indeed like unto a beautiful river, its sweet, quickening waters endlessly flowing between its banks. We never swim in the same water twice, for the river is a living unity. Were the banks leveled down, the river would turn into a destructive flood. Were the flow of its waters paralyzed, it would turn into a serpentine swamp of death. For the river to live and to quicken, its banks must endure, and its waters must be in perpetual flux. The formal rituals and laws symbolized in the priesthood are the banks, and the prophetic and mystic inspiration is the water that everlastingly flows on. In Hasidism, its melancholy background, its unheralded emergence and momentous power, we perceive the divine in history, the poetry, the redemptive awareness of God's presence, the all-embracing compassion, the spiritual range and sweep that Hasidism brought into Jewish life in one of Israel's darkest hours are for us today a rainbow and a reassurance of the revival of the remnants of our people. As we study our past, there comes to us the certainty that out of the welter and agony of life, out of the valley and confusion of life, stumbling, bleeding, and falling, stumbling, groping, and rising, Israel will again emerge to greet the dawn, his vitality unimpaired, his faith undiminished, his vision undimmed, and on his lips the song of life eternally self-renewing. Lo amus ki yechye, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Thank you, Rabbi Metz. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman was the soloist. The narrator was Richard Keith, and the part of Rabbi Eliezer was played by Will Gear. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This is the National Broadcasting Company.